On the first night of Slichus, we enter into a new dimension of time. We enter into the period of the Yomim Noraim. In fact, in one of the commentaries on the bottom of the Sefer Mate Ephraim, called the Tzei Hamate, quotes that some had the minig to begin Mariv of Motzei Shabbos in the first night of Slichus in the Nigin of the Yomim Noraim. That's how they would begin Vehu Rachum, in order to indicate that the period of the Yomim Noraim had already begun. And therefore, even though the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is to begin by saying Slichus on Rosh Chodesh Elul 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, throughout the entire month of Elul, the minig of the Ramah of Ashkenazim is to only begin saying Slichus a few days prior to Rosh Hashanah, 4 or 5 days, depending on the year. And this is confusing, because typically we prepare for a yontif for a period of 30 days, Shloshim Yom, Kedem HaChag. So why don't we all begin saying Slichus on Rosh Chodesh Elul? And moreover, the Sfardim, Shulchan Aruch is usually a little bit more mako than the Ramah. They have it a little bit easier than we do. They only have one person who lights the menorah. They eat kitnius on Pesach. The Ramah is usually more machmir than the Shulchan Aruch. So why is it that when it comes to saying Slichus, Shulchan Aruch's opinion is to already begin saying from Rosh Chodesh Elul? The Ramah's opinion is to only say it a few days prior to Rosh Hashanah. So Moshe Shapiro explains, based on a comment of the Gra, quotes from the Ran, that this is the source of the Ramah, is because Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, says the Ran, Kadosh Baruch Hu began creating the world 5 days beforehand on Chof Hei Elul. And it is then that we begin saying Slichus, corresponding to the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu began creating the world. Moshe Shapiro explains that it's because it was on that day that we entered into this new dimension of time, to the period of the Yomim Noraim, on Chof Hei Elul, a few days prior to Rosh Hashanah, which corresponds to the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu began creating the world. That's what begins this new period of time. And it's because we're entering into a new period of time, the period of the Yomim Noraim, that demands that we say Slichus, an additional tefillah of the day. The Levush notes that, observes, that the structure of the Slichus is similar to the structure of the other tefillahs of the day, of Mincha and Shacharis. We begin Slichus with Ashrei, with the Chasham Atztaka Shemei Tefillah, which is in place of praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is in place of the Psukei de Zimra, and satisfies the requirement of the Gemara Masechtas Brachos of Lo Olam Yisader Adam Shvach Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu V'Achar Kach Yispalel. Before a person asks for that which he needs from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he's supposed to praise the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then we follow the Ashrei L'cha Hashem Asak Hashem Yatzivu the Yugim Midas Harachamim, and that's in place of the Shemoneh Esrei. That's why Shemoneh Esrei, the Gemara says in Shabbos, requires that a person cover his head with his talus. He do ituf with his talus. And similarly, the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, commenting on the pasuk in Parashas Kisi, Sevayavar Hashem al panav hayikra, melamed shenisatav HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu covered his head like a shliach tzibor, v'herelo l'moshe seder tefillah. And he showed Moshe Rabbeinu how to recite Yugim Amidus HaRachman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu covered his head with a talus, k'yocho, in order to recite Yugim Amidus HaRachman, just like Shemoneh Esrei. And then we conclude the Slichus, we follow the Yigam Midas HaRachamim with Tachnan and Kaddish Shiskabel, just like we do by Shachar, just like we do by Mincha. The structure of the Slichus is like the structure of all the other tefillahs of the day. Why do we have to offer a fourth tefillah during this period of time, the period of the Yomim Noraim? Rav Moshe Shapiro continues, and he quotes him as Sfas Emes, basing himself off the Talmud Yerushalmi, Maseches Brachos, that typically we recite 3 tefillahs during the day because we experience 3 different changes of time on a daily basis. When the sun arises above the horizon, so at that period of the day, we offer a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shacharis. When the sun moves from the east side of the sky to the west side of the sky, so we offer another tefillah, we offer tefillahs Mincha. And when the sun dips below the horizon, for the 3rd tefillah, we offer Ma'ariv. Because those are the 3 different time periods that we experience on a daily basis. And during each time period, we have to affirm our allegiance to serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. However, Moshe Shapiro claims that during this period of the year, corresponding to the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu began creating the world, a few days prior to Rosh Hashanah, we have now entered into a new dimension of time, a new period of the year, of the Yamim Leraim. And therefore, that demands, that's why the Ramah feels, that demands that we say a new tefillah, a fourth tefillah of the day that we say Slichas, because we're now experiencing a new change, change in time period. We've now entered into the Yamim Leraim. Perhaps it's for that reason that Slichas have to be recited Dafka at night, or ideally at night. The Shulchan Aruch prescribes a person should say Slichas Bashmeres HaBoker, which is at the end of the night, right before Alois HaShachar. Magen Avraham says if a person is too difficult, the person could already begin saying Slichas from Chatzos HaLaila and on. From Chatzos HaLaila until Alois HaShachar is the ideal time for saying Slichas. The Ramah explains, because that's an Eis Ratzon before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Prior to Chatzos HaLaila is an Eis Din. After Chatzos HaLaila is an Eis Ratzon. The Mat Ephraim says if you can't say it after Chatzos HaLaila, before Hashmaris HaBoker, second best is to say it in the morning prior to Shafras. Rabbi Vadya writes in the Chavadas that a person to say Slichas before Chatzos HaLaila says it's better not to say Slichas at all. He says, if anything, you make your situation worse. So it's like a person who's approaching a Kadosh Baruch Hu and he's angry at you, and you ask him for favors. It's not going to improve your situation. If anything, it'll make it worse. So therefore, he says, better not to say Slichas at all. Others disagree, because the Gemara says in Masechtas Brach is commenting on the Pasuk in Tehillim, V'ani tefilasi l'cha Hashem eis ratzon, eimasai eis ratzon, one is an eis ratzon before a Kadosh Baruch Hu, b'shosha tzibur mispalim. Whenever the tzibur gathers together to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that makes it into an eis ratzon. Even though inherently it wasn't an eis ratzon, that makes it into a ratzon by definition of the fact that the tzibur is davening to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, Rav Meisher suggests that perhaps if you can't say slichas before Shacharis, you can't say slichas before Hashmaris HaBoker, so then if the only other option is not saying slichas, Rav Meisher says better to say slichas then before Chatzos HaLaila, at least, he says, after 10 o'clock, when you're ready in the second third of the night. Okay, but why is Slichas, the ideal time, Chatzos HaLaila till Hashmaris HaBoker? The Magen Avraham explains, because that's an Eis Ratzon before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, perhaps we can suggest that the reason why that is the ideal time to say Slichas is because Slichas corresponds to this new period of time that we have encountered, we've entered into, at this period of the year, a few days before Rosh Hashanah, corresponding to the day that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And therefore, that demands that we offer a fourth tefillah. But that fourth tefillah, like every other tefillah, is entitled to its own reserved slot within our daily schedule. But every other slot is occupied, the convenient slots. The morning slot is given to Shacharis. That's from Alois HaShachar to Chatzos HaYoim. From Chatzos HaYoim until Shkiyas HaChama, a person can daven Mincha. Shkiyas HaChama to Chatzos HaLaila, a person can daven Marav. The only available slot that wasn't occupied yet is from Chatzos HaLaila till the Hashmaris HaBoker. And perhaps that's why it's the ideal time to recite Slichas. Corresponding to this new dimension of time, to this new period of the Yamim Neiroim that we enter into on the first night of Slichas. However, perhaps we can suggest that Slichas are recited specifically at night for an additional reason. Ideally, at night, for an additional reason. And that is because the Torah in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah quotes from the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, we have a minhag to blow tkiyas shofar beginning on Rosh Chodesh Elul throughout the duration of the month of Elul. And the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar explains that because on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu ascended to Har Sinai in order to receive the second set of luchos. And at that time, a shofar was blown in order to remind Klal Yisrael not to sin once again not with a chet ha'egel, not to perform the Isra Avodah Zarah as they did the first time that Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai, and they thought he came back a little late, performed the chet ha'egel. This time, they blew a shofar to remind them not to do the aver of the chet ha'egel again. How does blowing the shofar remind Klal Yisrael not to perform the Chet HaEgel, or not to worship Avodah Zarah? So many explain that it's because the first time Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai in order to receive the first set of luchos, Klal Yisrael knew that he was supposed to be there for a period of 40 days. But Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai in the middle of the afternoon, and Klal Yisrael began their calculations, that was day one. However, that really wasn't supposed to be the first day of Moshe Rabbeinu being on Har Sinai. Really, they should have started counting that night. Because it's the night that precedes the day. So therefore, they were 12 hours early. So therefore, their calculations were all off, and they thought Moshe Rabbeinu only descended 12 hours late. But in fact, they started counting early. They counted that afternoon. The Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai as day one. They really only should have started counting at night. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai the second time in order to receive the second set of Luchos and Rosh Chodesh Elul, in order to remind, he also ascended in the afternoon, and this time a shofar was blown. And the shofar was in order to remind Klal Yisrael, don't begin counting now. Wait until tonight. That's going to be day one of your calculations of the 40 days. Don't make the same mistake again. However, Rabbi Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer, Rabbi Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer was the Rav in Krakow before the war. He suggests in his drushes that perhaps the Tkiyah Shofar of Chodesh Elul carries with it a deeper message, which is relevant not only to the Dor HaMidbar, who was calculating Moshe Rabbeinu's time, 40 days on Har Sinai, but is really relevant in all subsequent generations as well. And that is why we continue to blow the Tkiyah Shofar in our times as well. And that is because Rabbi Yaakov writes in the Emes LeYaakov, it's also already found in the writings of the Panim Yofas and Parashas Bereishis, that prior to Kabbalah HaTorah, from the time that Adam HaRishon was created, it was the day that preceded the night. Because that was the way the first day of Adam HaRishon's life was experienced. He was created during the day, and then it was the night that followed. So from the time of creation, it was the day that preceded the night. After Kabbalah HaTorah, there was a fundamental shift, a change that occurred. And now, it was the night that preceded the day that followed. And Rabbi Yosef Nechemya explains that this represented a fundamental change in our priorities. Prior to Kabbalah HaTorah, from the time that the world was created, it was the day that preceded the night. Because our primary focus in life was to succeed in the physical world, to build a civilization, and a person is at his peak of strength, physical strength, in the morning. That's when we're strongest. As the day progresses, our strength begins to wane and becomes depleted. And therefore, since before Kabbalah HaTorah, our primary focus in life is to be successful in the physical world, the day began during the day, and it was the day that preceded the night. However, after Kabbalah HaTorah, there was a fundamental change. Everything changed. There was a fundamental change in our priorities. And now, it was no longer our primary focus to be successful in the physical world. Our primary focus is to be successful in the spiritual world. And when is a person at the peak of his spiritual strength? Is at the end of the day. That's when a person is wiser, when he had the experience of everything that he's endured throughout the day. And now he has a little bit more knowledge and experience. That's when a person is at the peak of his spiritual strength. And therefore, after Kabbalah HaTorah, there was a shift that occurred. There was a night that preceded the day. And at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai to receive the second set of Luchos, a shofar was blown. And the shofar was in order to remind Klal Yisrael, says of Yosef Nechemya, to remind them that this shift was about to occur. Don't begin counting now during the day. It's no longer the day that precedes the night. Your focus is no longer to be successful in the physical world. Our primary focus is to be successful in the spiritual world. That's our focus. And therefore, it's the night that precedes the day. You should begin counting at night. And so too, as we blow Tkiyah Shofar throughout the Chodesh Elul, is to remind us of this same change that has occurred. Oftentimes throughout the year, we confuse. We become lost as to what it is that is our primary focus in life. What is the Ikar? And what is the Tafel? And therefore, we blow the Shofar during Chodesh Elul to remind us of that same message that was conveyed to Klal Yisrael at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai, that it is the night that precedes the day. Our primary focus is to be successful in the spiritual world, not so in the physical world. And perhaps that is why we begin saying Slichos at night, particularly on a Motzei Shabbos, which is the height of our spiritual strength throughout the week, to remind us that it is the night that precedes the day. Our primary focus in life is to be successful in the spiritual world, not to be successful necessarily in the physical world, to remind us what is the Ikar, what is the Tafel. In the olden days, the way people used to shoplift and steal, you'd be in a store, not that I did this, but you'd be in a store, and you would take an item off the shelf, slip it in your pocket or your pocketbook, and try and sneak out of the store with the item without anybody noticing. But as time has progressed, people become more sophisticated, So now the new trend in shoplifting is what's called ticket switching. A guy walks into a store, I'm not recommending it, but a guy walks into a store, takes with his cell phone a picture of a barcode of a cheap item, you know, a box of pencils. He goes home, prints a label with that barcode on it. Then he comes back to the same store, he takes a box with a laptop inside, and he slaps on the label for the box of pencils. Then he goes to the shelf checkout aisle in the Target, the Home Depot or something, and he walks out paying, you know, $3 for something that should cost $3,000. It's Meisim B'cholyon. This is going on all the time. Every month or so, there's another incident of a person who's arranging such a scheme. And then they take it. If you're really sophisticated, you take that back to a different store, you know, with the real barcode and return it, then you can get cash back. This has been going on a long time. Ticket switching. So in the olden days, you would do this by just actually taking the price tag off one item and putting on a different item. So my situation, it happened a few years ago. People broke into Tiffany's, and they didn't steal anything. Stealing stuff, the stuff is stolen. It's hard to, you know, sell it. All they did was switch the price tags from the expensive items to the less expensive items, and, you know, the less expensive items they put on the more expensive items. Then their plan was to come back the following day and buy all the expensive items for much cheaper. It's a good idea. However, the store clerk realized what had taken place, and you can look it up. This happened, famous case in Tiffany's, and they spent that closed the store the whole day in order to switch back the price tags to the way they were supposed to be. However, perhaps this has a message for us as well. And that is, oftentimes throughout the year, we exchange the ikar for the tafel. We do the same type of ticket switching. We confuse what is the expensive item with the less expensive item, you know, the more expensive with the less expensive. We think certain things are ikar in life, what so-and-so said to me, what the, you know, this happened, or that happened, and we don't realize that that's really a tafel. The ikar in life, of course, is to be successful in the spiritual world. And we cheat ourselves. We steal from ourselves. We shoplift from ourselves in exchanging the ikar for the tafel and the tafel for the ikar. The whole source for the mitzvah of vidui, confessing averas, is found in the context and connection with theft. The pasuk in Parshas Nosai, which tells us, v'svadu es chatasam asher osu, should perform vidui for that avera that we performed. That's the source of the mitzvah of vidui. Why is the source of the mitzvah of vidui found Dafka in the parasha of theft, of stealing? So Chiddush HaRim explains, because every time we perform an aveira, we're really stealing from ourselves. We're exchanging what is the ikar in life for the tafel for the ikar. We've shoplifted, we've stolen from ourselves, and therefore the parasha of vidui is found in the context of theft, of stealing, because we've stolen from ourselves. The Mishnah tells us in Masechtas Bikurim, when a person would bring his bikurim, his first fruits, to the kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, he would have to perform mikra bikurim. He'd have to recite one of the parashiyos, the Torahs found in last week's parasha. So the Mishnah says, Berishayna, initially when people came to present the bikurim to the kohen, those who knew how to read the mikra bikurim would read the mikra bikurim themselves. They would learn it from the Sefer Torah. Those who didn't know how, so they would have someone else learn for them. However, this led to an uncomfortable situation, that you had people who didn't know how to lay, someone to point for them, and others who knew how to lay didn't have someone to point. They don't get to an embarrassing situation. They were misaking that everyone should have someone else laying it for them. Of course, is the foreshadowing to what we do at every Kriya Satar. We have point a Balkari on behalf of everyone, not to be mavias as Misha any or there. However, the Taisis Yantav there asks that the very next Mishnah tells us that when a person would present his first fruits to the Kayin, he would have to do so in a container, in a tenna, in a basket. So Mishnah says those who, you know, had the ability would present the bikurim in gold and silver baskets. And those who didn't have resources would present their bikurim in wicker baskets. So Taisi Yantav, why don't we make, that's embarrassing, well, could create an uncomfortable situation. Who has more or less? So why don't they make a takana? Everyone should present the bikurim in wicker baskets. And we find such a precedent for that takana, because the Gemara says in Maseches Ma'id Katan, that when a person, Lailena, would get up, would come up after a levaya, would begin sitting shiva, so the community would provide them with a meal. So the Savra. And those who had means would provide the food in gold and silver bowls. And those who didn't have means would provide the food to others in wicker baskets. So Gemara says that led to an uncomfortable situation of who has more, who has less, of the misakin, that everyone should provide the food to others in wicker baskets and homemade baskets. Why didn't they make such a similar takana with regards to Bikurim? That's the kash of the Tosfos Yontif. So Tosfos Yontif says, because in the Beis HaMikdash is different. That's it. When they present the Bikurim to the Kohen, it would be in the base of Beis HaMikdash is different. But Tosfos Yontif doesn't explain why it's different. So Rabbi Reisman once suggested that perhaps it's different because in the Beis HaMikdash it's clear what's the Ikar in life and what's the Tafel. It's clear that the Ikar in life is to be successful in the spiritual world. To be successful in the physical world is not as important. That's a Tafel. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, these things are confused. So outside the Beis HaMikdash, one person's bringing a gold ball, one's bringing a wicker ball, people are becoming embarrassed, so they made a takana, everyone should bring in wicker baskets. In the Beis HaMikdash, everyone is aware of what's really important. So no one's getting embarrassed about who has more, who has less, this bowl, that bowl. What's really embarrassing? What's really embarrassing is a person who doesn't know how to learn Torah. That's what's embarrassing. So when it came to the Mikra Bikurim, that they made a takana to not to embarrass this Misha any of their likros. In the Beis HaMikdash, it was clear. And so to the first night of Slichus, as we enter now into the period of the Yomim Nairoim, to this new dimension of time which warrants its own tefillah, we hear, specifically at night, which reminds us of what is the Ikar in life, it's time to reorganize our priorities and to begin to chart a new course in life, a new direction for the coming year, based on these new priorities of what is really the Ikar, what is the Tafel. Pasuk tells in Parashas Nitzavim, really puts two people together. In the same pasuk, seem to have nothing to do with one another. The pasuk says, "Pen yesh b'chem isha isha mishpacha yeshevet," maybe to be a man or woman, a family or a tribe, "asher levava peineh hayoyim," whose heart has gone astray, "me'im Hashem Elokeinu," "Kadosh Baruch Hu lalech es lavad es Elokei hagoyim hayoyim," who's gone to worship avodah zarah. The pasuk continues, "or pen yesh b'chem shayresh perei roish v'lano," maybe there's someone who has a bad character trait. So the pasuk begins with a person who's worshipping Elohei Hagoyim Hayoyim, left the religion entirely. He's gone. Off the derech. Gone. Goodbye. When worshipping Avodah Zarah. And in the same pasuk, same breath, person who has Midos Ros. How could these two be put together? What do they have to do with one another? One guy, who's coming, it's better, okay. Together with a guy who's left the religion entirely, how could they both be mentioned in the same breath, in the same pasuk? So Penach Leibowitz, who of course was a Rosh Yeshiva in the Chafetz Chaim, explains in the Sefer Kedushei Halev that it's because while it's true right now these two people are in very different places, but they're on the same trajectory in life. The person's not monitoring himself about how he conducts himself, so he's already on the wrong path. And yes, right now he's far away from the guy, worshiping Avodah Zarah. But ultimately, if he continues down that path, that's where he could end up. And therefore, the two are already mentioned in the same pasuk. It continues that once Rabbi Meir Bloch was standing on the train platform in Chicago together with his Talmidim, and there was one train on one side that was going to California, another train that was going to New York. So he said to his Talmidim, "How far apart are these two trains?" They walked down to the ground, maybe 8 to 10 feet between one train and the platform and the other train. He said, "No, they're 3,000 miles apart, because one is headed in one direction and the other is headed in the other direction." And oftentimes in life, it's not important necessarily where we are, but in what direction we're headed. And that's really the process of tshuva that we have to engage in at the beginning of the period of the Yomim Nairoim, beginning with the first night of Slichus and through Rosh Hashanah, is not focused on specific actions of where we are necessarily, but more about where are we going. What are our priorities in life and what direction are we headed? The Rambam writes in the third parak of Hilchos Teshuvah that on every year on Rosh Hashanah, there's a calculation that's made. And a person who has more mitzvahs than averus is labeled as a tzaddik and he's neftam l'chaim. A person who has more averus than mitzvahs is labeled as a rosha, says Ram neftam leilenu misa. And a person who has exactly the same number of mitzvahs and averus is deemed to be a beinoni. He's held in limbo, waiting until Yom Kippur. And if a person does tshuva, he's nechtam l'chaim. If not, nechtam l'misa. So Lecha Mishnah there asks in the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Paragimel Lachagimel, he asks, why does this beinoni have to do tshuva? Why can't, if he's exactly, the same number of mitzvahs and averus, let him daven mincha, that will tip the scales in his favor, and it'll be nechtam l'chaim. Why does he have to do tshuva? Many Achrayim suggest different possibilities. The Kaifayor of Yitzchak Blaza suggests that it's perhaps squandering the opportunity to do tshuva during Dirshu Hashem v'imotho, during the period of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, is such a great aver that it outweighs, it eclipses any other possible mitzvahs a person could do. Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz suggests, so to Rabbi Aaron Cutler has in the Mishnah Rabbi Aaron, that it's perhaps because whatever mitzvah you do now during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva will only accrue to the following year. That won't help you for the previous year's cheshbon. So you're stuck in limbo. The only thing that you can do to change the past, the only mitzvah that can change the past, alter the past, is tshuva. And that's why that's his only option. However, Rav Hunter suggests in the Pachad Yitzchak, and is already alluded to in the Meiri, in the Chibur HaTshuva, that which I think is compelling, is that the Rambam is not discussing a person who has a literally, you know, the childish notion of a numerical stalemate between mitzvahs and averis. Can't be. Because the Rambam says we should all view ourselves as Beinonim during this period of the year. If it's exactly, a person is exactly number of mitzvahs, how common could that possibly be? How many people fit into that category? And moreover, why should the tzaddik who has more mitzvahs than averus be nethem immediately l'chaim? Why isn't he held accountable for all those averus that he did in the past? He has more, okay, I understand, but what about all the averus? Therefore, Futner suggests that on Rosh Hashanah, during this period of the year, our judgment is not about specific actions, averus, mitzvahs, and held off to Yom Kippur. But rather, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is more about our trajectory, our religious arc. Are we coming closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, or are we trending further away? Is our religious commitment intensifying, or is it subsiding? And many people are torn, are conflicted, about whether they're trending closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, or slipping further away. And that is what the din of Rosh Hashanah is all about. The Beinoni is a person who's torn, who's conflicted. And therefore, during this period of the year, we have to do a cheshbon ha-nefesh, not a cheshbon ha-nefesh of the number of mitzvahs with the number of aveiros, but the cheshbon ha-nefesh of a person who is taking stock of his direction in life. Where are we trending? In which direction are we headed in? Aaron HaKohen passed away, as we know, during Chodesh Av. Rashi writes in Parshas Chukos, 30 days later, which is during the month of Elul, we did battle with Sichon, also mentioned in this week's parasha. And Rav Tzadik, Chiddush Ha'arim, both write that Sichon is described as Melech Cheshbon, the king of Cheshbon. Because the whole year long, the king of Cheshbon rules over us. We don't take time to take stock of our actions, of which direction we're headed in. But comes Chodesh El, we do battle with Sichon, Melech Cheshbon. Now is the time to do a Cheshbon HaNefesh, not only about the number of mitzvahs and averus, but about which direction we're headed in. As we know, Elo is Berosh Tevis, Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. I am for my beloved, and my beloved is for me. Ani, of course, means I. But Ani is derived from the word on, or Ano, with a hey. What does that mean? So Mishnah tells us in Masechtas Avos, a person should always keep in mind three things, and I'll never perform an Avera, which is Me'ayin Basa, Ula'ana Toholech, where he came from, where he's going, or Me'asad Litin Din V'cheshbon. So the word an, or ano, with a hey, refers to a person's location, his direction. That's why, as opposed to ana Hashem Hashiana with an aleph, that means, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, answer me, save me. Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha with a hey means, where are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that I can serve you. And so too, therefore, ani, who I am, is ha'an shali. The direction that we're headed in, that defines who we are. And therefore, if it's ani l'daydi, if we readjust ourselves, recommit ourselves to intensifying relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, ani l'daydi, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu responds l'daydi li, that he will recommit to re-intensify his connection to us as well. So let us, as we enter into this new dimension, this new time period, the period of the Yom HaNeraim, we begin the process of reorganizing our priorities. We're reminded at night the spiritual heights of our week about what is the Iker in life and what is the Tafel. And we organize a chart a course for the coming year of coming closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. Ani l'doidi. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond v'doidi li and inscribe us all. Tzivach simotayv and a good dimension.